Well, good morning. Welcome to Friday, June 7th. We all made it to the weekend, almost. This is the Morning Drive, and thank you for listening to WTBR 89.7 FM. We are live and local this morning at our WTBR studio here on Federico Drive. And today's topic is I have a panel of folks here who are experts to tell us about getting out in the great outdoors here in Berkshires. So we're going to listen to the National Weather Service report first. When we get back, we're going to collectively tell you to take a hike, but in a good way.
Berkshire weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. A chance of showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the upper 70s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers in the evening, then partly cloudy after midnight. Lows in the lower 50s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Saturday, partly sunny. Highs in the lower 70s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there's the weather. It sounds a little wet, but hey, we've been pretty lucky for the past week or so. So we need the rain, but we've had our sunshine. Hopefully it won't be too much of a washout, though, right? So good morning. So like I said, I have a small panel of experts here. We have a full house as far as the studio is concerned. I have with us today, we have America Lopez. Right, America?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. And if you could, great, thank you. So, America, what is you're with the Berkshire Natural Resource Council, right? And you lead the Spanish-speaking programs, is that correct?
Yes, I started a few months ago to lead hikes for Spanish-speaking people. Mm-hmm. But before that, I was leading hikes for a group called Latinas 413 mm-hmm. and for our clinic in Great Barrington. I am the co-leader for those hikes, too, yeah.
I know you are a very busy woman. You have a lot going on in our communities. So thank you for being here. And Jenny Hetzel, right? You are the president of Berkshire Natural Resource Council.
I am. Thank you.
Can you tell me just a little oversight on Berkshire Natural Resource?
Sure. BNRC has been around since 1967. We protect land throughout the Berkshires. We build trails and help connect people to nature. We have a lot of educational and outreach programs. And just make sure that the beauty and the habitat and forests and fields in the Berkshires are protected forever.
Thank you. Thank you also for being here. And we have Becky, Becky Cushing-Gopp. Becky, you are the executive director at Pleasant Valley?
Yeah, thanks, okay. Brian. Hi, I'm the regional director for Mass Audubon, so I oversee Mass Audubon's West region, which encompasses 19 wildlife sanctuaries and all of the work within that. Mass Audubon, of course, is a statewide organization, so we have been around since the late 1800s, founded on a basis of advocacy work, so that's a lot of the work that we do as well. But right here in Berkshire County, we have three sanctuaries open to the public, six in total.
Yeah, this is great. So, I mean, that's just it. There's so many great resources here in Berkshire County for people to get out to explore this wonderful resource that we have, which is the great outdoors. And, you know, any chance you get to get out there, we'll talk more about just the health benefits of that and just how fortunate we are to have all these resources. So we're going to dive into that a little bit with each one of you. If I could start, Becky, with you. Can you tell me a little bit more about some of the programming that goes on with the Pleasant Valley? So Pleasant Valley is just specifically the one in Lenox, is that correct?
Yes. Okay. So Pleasant Valley is our oldest sanctuary. We're approaching 100 years old, actually, being a wildlife sanctuary of 1,400 acres, 7 miles of trail, and it's kind of the main home base for all of our programming, though we have programming throughout the county. So the reason I'm here today and not one of our educators is we have field trips going on. This time of year, we have hundreds of school children from the Berkshire County Schools coming in and enjoying the trails and also integrating all of the work that we've been doing in the schools all year round. And really putting it into practice on the sanctuary. So that's really fun. And then once the field trip season ends, we launch into our camp season. So we have two camps in Berkshire County, one at Pleasant Valley, and there still are some spaces open, so check us out if you're looking for a place. We have ages 3 up through teens participating in that program, and then we have a camp, a Pittsfield-based camp at Wild Acres that we run in collaboration with some of the schools in Pittsfield. So those are some of the school and school children age programming. And then, of course, we launch into our public programs in the summer, which we'll probably talk more about later, but canoe trips, Firefly programs, programs at partner properties like the Mount. So a huge variety of programming for anyone in the summer season.
So a little history. I actually attended camp at Pleasant Valley.
Yay.
When I was 10 years old.
Love that.
Yeah, so it's been around. Well, it's been around for a while.
Case, absolutely.
Right? So, America, can you tell me a little bit about some of the programming that you are charged with?
Well, so as you mentioned, yes, I'm a very busy woman, as I'm sure the two women who are here are. At our clinic, we have free healthcare for people who are uninsured or underinsured. Mm-hmm. But part of what I do is patient services, and mm-hmm. that is connecting new immigrants to resources, information, and to increase language access. And one of the things that I do, just because I love doing it and it's a hobby, and we started to organize hikes for patients, just mm-hmm. so they can get connected. They know other people in the community. They get to know other people in the community, and also the trails. We did it maybe unintentionally, but we started like having all this curiosity on people, and then on my group in Latinas 413, my role is just to increase access for people to outdoor activities, because what I just said, it's just that I love it. I see how impactful it has been on my own well-being, so I just wanted to share that with people. Mm-hmm. And that's how I was connected to BNRC, and now I'm the hike leader for Spanish-speaking people, and we have been working very closely with Mass Audubon, connecting or trying to enroll our children for summer camp. So that's something that I try to get connected everything I do with outdoor activities, and just people get, and my intention is just to try to raise awareness in the newcomer community that we have beautiful resources here in the Berkshires.
Yeah, we sure do. And that's the great thing about the Berkshires, that, and I repeat this often when we do the shows and we have different organizations in here, is that what I've come to find, what I've always known actually, is that how well all these different organizations in Berkshire County work together, whether it's something that you guys are all involved with the great outdoors and hiking and so forth, but all the different resources that are around here, whether it's in mental health, whether it's in the arts, everybody comes together to get things done, which is great. There's a lot of collaboration in this county, which is fantastic. So, Jenny, tell me a little bit about some of the programming that actually, you know what I'd be interested to hear about is the trail that you're connecting across the area, the high road. Is
the
that
high
right?
road,
yeah,
sure.
Can you talk a little bit about the high road?
Yeah, the high road was a vision dreamed up, I don't know, about 7 or 8 years ago by my predecessor, the previous president of BNRC, Tad Ames. And his vision was to create a network of trails across the Berkshires. He was thinking about the Camino de Santiago in Spain, which is, you know, a 1,000-year-old network of trails that goes across, I don't know, 4 countries in Europe. Or you think of those coast-to-coast walks in England or Ireland. And he wanted to see something like that happen here. And it just caught people's imagination. We raised, we had a capital campaign and raised $5 million, and then the challenge was to build it. And unlike in Europe. We don't have a 1,000-year-old tradition of people being able to walk across other people's private property or the commons, you know, the idea of this kind of community-owned land. So it's a different kind of challenge here to figure out where can these trails go and whose property are we crossing and how do you get permission. So we opened the first leg on Yokin Ridge, which connects through Pleasant Valley, actually, from Kripalu and Olivia's Overlook up to Bosque in Pittsfield. About 2 years ago, I think we opened it during the pandemic. And it's an incredible 10-mile trail with some different spurs that goes off, and it's very rugged, and you can do shorter versions, like just up to Mahanacabal and back from Bosque is a round trip of about a mile and a half, or you can do the whole 10-mile trip. And now we're planning out the next 5 or 6 segments that will be in different parts of the county. We thought it was super important to make sure that we had legs going in North County, Central County, South County. So we've got a few starting this summer. One is going to be in Great Barrington. And the idea is town to trail. It's going to take decades, if not, you know, more to connect the whole county. But what we'll be able to do is say, wouldn't it be great if you could walk from Mahanacabal down into Pittsfield or from Pittsfield up to Mahanacabal? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the idea is helping people who, as America said, don't necessarily think about walking out into nature to go from where they live, mm-hmm. from their community up into some beautiful path. But of course, the challenge is you want it to be a nice walk that somebody wants to do. You're not going to ask people to walk, you know, under the overpass to the highway or something.
Right. You want it to feel like nature.
You want it to be a beautiful experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so right now, BNRC has, what, approximately, I read, about 80 miles of trails?
We're not quite to 80. It's about 60.
Yeah,
60 miles of trails with, you know, new ones opening all the time. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, maintaining the old ones that, you know, a tree falls, a flood happens. But our trails are designed to be very sustainable so that, you know, even in the heavy rains that we had last summer, nothing really washed out because we have the drainage planned really carefully and that kind of thing. I mean, they definitely got muddy, but.
Yeah. So this high road is sort of running parallel to the AT, the Appalachian Trail, in a sense, sort of our own version of it here in Berkshire County, ultimately. That's the vision anyway,
The
right?
original idea was to be a little different from the Appalachian Trail and the idea that, when you're on the AT, you know, you might get off for a little while to take a shower or get something to eat, but it's really a wilderness backpacking experience. But if you're walking something like the Camino or in England, you might have somebody carrying your bags in a van to the next bed and breakfast. So, you know, you mentioned that the nature in the Berkshires is spectacular. People come here for culture and nature, right? For the arts and for the beauty. So you might come and go to Tanglewood and then hike up to Pittsfield and do something in Pittsfield the next day and then keep going. And so that you come down and stay in a B&B or, you know, a hotel or something. And so there's kind of that supporting the Berkshires economy side to the high road as well. So it's a little bit of a different experience than the AT or the Taconic Crest Trail on the west side.
Yeah, so the AT is more of a longer commitment.
Yeah.
The high road would be sort of intermittent. And then, like you said, being able to step off, take a little exit, and then go enjoy something else in the Berkshire.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Because we do. We're fortunate to have that balance of both the nature and the arts, you know, which is, I think, pretty rare.
It makes the Berkshires unique. It really does.
Yeah. So we also talk, I wanted to talk about accessibility to a lot of these locations, right? And so America, like with the program that you're doing, where you're leading people, Spanish-speaking people into the woods, you know, to introduce them to the woods that are around here and get them to experience the nature, that's bringing people in who, as you said, may not otherwise have thought to explore that, right?
Yes. I think it's beyond the language. Mm-hmm. It's also people coming from different countries, from Latin America or other countries. I'm especially attached to the Spanish-speaking people because I speak Spanish as my first language. Mm-hmm. And but I think it's beyond the language because I feel that it's like something more intentional, something that tells people, yes, we translated these maps, we have signs in Spanish, but we also want you to be here, and we're gonna just kind of like have someone, whether it's me or somebody else, leading these hikes, someone who looks like them, mm-hmm. who kind of like share experiences similar to being afraid of being outdoors, to learning about like nature locally, and like just to share that and say, hey, you know what? When I started hiking, I got lost and I didn't know that I was going to get all bitten by mosquitoes and that there were ticks and that this is what I needed to wear to be comfortable. So now it's kind of like sharing that knowledge with people, whether it's in the clinic and at the BNRC and with other group, and not only for adults, but also for children, because I feel like we know, and I know that we're going to be talking about the impacts on of nature and health, but I feel like many children are just like new to the area. They don't know. They're not as exposed to outdoor activities. Some of them come from places, from cities, where there's not a lot of, like, trails. And I feel like if you, one starts to bring children outside to just being more connected and to just let them explore, which I feel like naturally we do as humans. We don't need to tell anybody, oh, you need to explore. No, if they're exposed to a trail, they're going to do it naturally, and especially children. So I feel like it's accessibility is beyond language, and it's about like education, information, financial resources. It's a lot of things, and I feel like I am so happy to be in this community because, as you said, like there's a lot of collaborations across organizations and agencies, and especially the outdoors, the organizations who focus on outdoor recreation and conservation, I feel like they have been very open to making those connections and taking the extra steps to actually increase accessibility. But it, yeah, definitely goes beyond the language.
Yeah, no, thank you. And of course, the other part of accessibility would be for anyone who has a handicap or you know, is mobility impaired in some way. And I know that both of your organizations have made efforts to make things more accommodating. Becky, can you tell me a little bit more about some of the things you guys have done down at Pleasant Valley?
Sure, I'm happy to talk about that. I want to underscore what America said around accessibility going beyond language. I think that's just brilliant to really highlight. And I did just want to mention that the work with them around camp and getting kids into camp is not something everyone knows what that is, you know, and that it, some of us take for granted that we know what that is. And so that's a great example of what does it mean to go to camp, like, and what makes me comfortable to send my kids to camp. Well, like, what are they gonna do? There might be snakes. There will be snakes. But so I really want to underscore that, and I love that you brought that up. And so a few years ago, there was an assessment of some of the gaps, I think, in our recreational landscape across the Berkshires. And accessibility was highlighted as a gap. Facilities, things that support the experience out on trails, was identified as one of the gaps that we have in Berkshire County. So at Pleasant Valley, we've been working really, really focused in the last 6-7 years around having a fully accessible experience available at Pleasant Valley. So we've had an accessible trail for, gosh, I think it was built in the early 2000s. So it just got a major upgrade. But what we've done more recently is made sure that all of our facilities were accessible. So we have accessible restroom facilities. We have family-friendly, gender-neutral, an accessible picnic area, accessible nature play area. And we recently expanded our accessible trail, and that actually came out of one of the, you probably remember a couple of years ago, we had a couple of terrible microbursts that came through.
Sure.
And our accessible boardwalk was destroyed, and it was kind of devastating. Huge white pines uprooted, and like, oh, what do we do? This is like a gem of Pleasant Valley. And so we took the opportunity to look at our trail and say, well, how could we make this even better? And one of the things that we identified was that we wanted to make it longer. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to be able to bring people to new places of the sanctuary and also take some of our existing trails that had a lot of the features of an accessible trail. So they were fairly gentle grade and flat. And we saw, like, with a little bit more work, we could make that into a accessible trail. So we did that, and the physical footprint of the trail is complete. We have benches, a seating area along the way. We actually have a all-terrain rollator that people can borrow so they can show up, and this allows you to have some extra stability by holding something with some pretty rugged tires and also the ability to sit down whenever you want. And then we also have a grit freedom chair that people can take out, and these don't cost anything. You can just come by and you can just use those on the trail. So if you don't have a mobility device of your own that might work well on a trail, you have those options. Coming very soon are additional accessibility, a sensory overlay, we call it, of the trail. So what that means is we're going to have audio interpretation. We'll have panel interpretation along the way, but with some tactile elements. So you'll be able to feel different features like a frog or a bird. So that is in progress, and that will be, we hope, installed by next spring. Mm-hmm. So something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's great. Making it available. Right, making this yeah. available. Yeah. And those beaver ponds, I mean, those are fantastic to go down to anyway. You know?
There's so much happening in the beaver ponds.
they're a very active place.
Very active and always changing. Yeah. And I know at BNRC you have beaver ponds too, but it's really fun. And that's one of the programs that we lead. We have these sort of evening at the beaver ponds or beavers and birds. And you could come every week, and every week would be different because the beavers are moving and they're they're fascinating. Fascinating creatures.
And then BNRC also, you guys have the boardwalk down at Parsons Marsh.
We do.
Which is also accessible by wheelchair or other devices. Becky, before the show, she said that you guys even will recommend to people who are at Pleasant Valley, and if that visit was short for them, you're quick to recommend that they go down to down to Under Mountain Road and check out the Parsons Marsh.
Yeah, you can
they have extra time.
Make
like,
a day of it.
They're like, what's next? And,
right?
And they're always referring them down to Parsons Marsh.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's a beautiful place to do bird watching down on Parsons Marsh. Anybody who doesn't know what it is, it's off of Cliffwood, but Under Mountain Road in Lenox, kind of near Tanglewood. And it's a long boardwalk that goes through the woods and then out onto the marsh. And there's lots of bird watching to be done there. And in fact, there's a couple swans there right now. We were down there last week.
They have one baby. The swan has one little baby that's getting bigger every day.
Oh, yeah?
You have to have binoculars to get a glimpse of it. It'll be big soon, so you'll be able to see it with the naked eye. But, yeah, we actually have three accessible trails. The Parsons Marsh in Lenox is the one with the boardwalk that you just described. And that one, I cannot tell you how many letters and phone calls I get from people who say, I haven't been able to go out into nature for 10 years, but I finally was able to go to Parsons Marsh because I could go in my wheelchair or with my rollator and get out and see this incredible spot. It's just it's a quarter mile walk, but you feel like you're just out there in the wilderness. And I'll tell you a little story. My dad came to visit last spring. My daughter graduated from UMass, so he came out from Michigan. And he's 87 and doesn't walk very well anymore, but he wanted to see what I do. And we were not nature people growing up. We were very much city people, and he's an indoor guy. And so we got out to Parsons Marsh, and there's benches along the boardwalk every, couple hundred yards or whatever, so he could sit down and rest because he was too stubborn to bring a rollator or a cane. And we got out to the end, and he looked around and he said, why do you leave the trees lying down like that? Why don't you clean them up and make it neater? So I explained to my dad about habitat and, old growth and sort of what a decaying tree trunk might do for the creatures that live in that area. And he looked around and he goes, oh, I get it. I get what you do. And for me, that was such a gift to be able to really communicate in that sort of deep way to my father. But we do have two other accessible trails as well. One is in Great Barrington. It's called Thomas and Palmer, and it's a very different kind of experience. You're going through open meadows, and so you can see these big open fields. And this time of year, the bobolinks are nesting. That's a beautiful bird. And again, whenever I go there, I see people with all kinds of mobility challenges. Maybe they're just older and walking slower, children in strollers, people in wheelchairs. It's such an incredible experience. And then the third one is very different. Again, it's along the Housatonic River in Hinsdale, and it's called the Old Mill Trail. And that one is about a 0.9-mile walk, and America and I have been on one of her walks at the Old Mill, and it's, you know, just the rushing water, and it's a clean part of the Housatonic that was never polluted. Mm. It's really, so people fish there. And right now there's some work going on the parking lot because that wasn't as accessible as it needed to be, but by the end of the summer, and it's still open, the trail is open, and you can go anytime. Mm. But it's each one of these is very different from the other and just a spectacular experience. And there are beavers at Thomas and Palmer as well.
And to your point about when your father was asking about the downed trees, mm-hmm. and that you leave them there, I mean, that is a big part of what all of you do is conservation as well. I mean, let alone that removing that tree would be very labor intensive.
Right.
So, but the conservation is a very big part of what you do. However, all of you, your two organizations in particular, are very good about trail maintenance. I use a number of the trails, and we get those microbursts, we get weather, gravity, stuff happens, right? But I feel like both of your organizations are very much on top of making sure that those trails are cleared as quickly as possible, and I think you do a great job. Can you tell me a little bit about who does that?
Sure. Well, we have a great stewardship team, full-time, a couple of folks who are out on the properties every day. But really, the key is volunteers. We have incredible groups of volunteers. Some of them are trail stewards, so people who are assigned to a particular trail to walk it frequently and keep an eye on how things are going and then report in if there's an issue. And then we have volunteer days where people can get out and do clearing and maintenance. So it's really it's like everything, and as you mentioned already, it's a group effort, lots of collaboration and working together to make it go.
And how about you, Becky? Who's doing your trails?
So we, similar answer, we have an incredible property team, small but mighty. We have two full-time year-round folks and a seasonal person, so we really do rely on volunteers to help keep those trails cleared. And to your point, the habitat management aspect of things is very labor-intensive as well, so ensuring that our properties are being maintained for wildlife alongside the trails, because that's one of the reasons a lot of people use the trails, is to be able to experience that in addition to it being, you know, core to our mission to steward our properties, conserve the habitat, and promote wildlife species.
Right, because you got to strike that balance.
So we protect the nature of Massachusetts for people and wildlife, and we're really focused on biodiversity, conserving for biodiversity. We're really focused on climate resilience and conserving and ensuring that our habitats are resilient in the face of climate change. So things like we saw with the microburst, we saw that, oh my goodness, we have all these invasive, so we have all these trees that came down, all these invasive plants underneath. We're going to need to manage this so that we don't just have a major overtake here. So we're really focused on managing our sanctuaries with climate in mind. And that is a lot of work. So it's one thing to protect the land, and it's another to steward it well for ever, basically.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Thank you for doing
it.
So we're coming up on the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick station pause to thank our underwriters and check again with the weather when we come back. In studio, we have America Lopez with BNRC, that's the Berkshire Natural Resource Council, and Jenny Hatzel, who's the president of the Berkshire Natural Resource Council. We also have Becky Cushing-Gopp, who runs the Pleasant Valley Sanctuary and the other Audubon facilities here in Berkshire County. We're talking about getting out in nature and enjoying what the Berkshires have to offer. So we will return in a few moments. So stick around, please.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Who needs the restroom?
Hello, this is Congressman Richard E. Neal, and you're listening to 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available, all free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
The Pittsfield Health Department is hosting monthly wellness clinics available to the community at the Christian Center, Senior Center, Epworth Arms, Capitol Square, and South Congregational Church. Vital sign checks, medication reviews, and health assessments are offered by the public health nurse. Our social worker will be there with information of available resources as well. For more information about these clinics, please contact us at 413-499-9411.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hey, water lovers, this is Leslie Gabriel, your water ambassador, host of And So It Flows. Our water music and water culture brings water outside the cup. Moisten your ears every Tuesday at 2 p.m. here at WTBR 89.7 FM. Love your water.
In the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
So, I did it again. I keep forgetting there's that horn. I got to wait for the horn to finish. Anyway, welcome back. Again, this morning we are talking about getting out into nature here in the Berkshires. We have Jenny Hatzel, who is the president of Berkshire Natural Resource Council, along with America Lopez, who leads the Spanish hike series with Berkshire Natural Resource Council, and Becky Cushing Gopp with Pleasant Valley and the Berkshire Audubon Society. So we're going to check in with the weather one more time, and then we'll continue on with our conversation.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. A chance of showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the upper 70s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers in the evening, then partly cloudy after midnight. Lows in the lower 50s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Saturday, partly sunny. Highs in the lower 70s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right. Thank you, National Weather Service robot, I guess. So anyway, we're going to carry on with our conversation here about all the wonderful hiking and outdoor experiences that are offered here in Berkshire County. And one of the things that one topic that we've kind of has been kind of woven in to the bigger topic here is the benefits on mental health, as well as physical health, but mental health, which is one that we're recognizing more and more these days. And America, I was hoping maybe you could kind of talk a little bit about that and how it relates.
Yes. So before I even knew about the research or how nature impacts the mental health of people, I felt it on my own, just being out and like maybe just focusing on the moment and maybe like being in awe by nature and all the little things that they're not things that we focus on a daily basis, right? Like we just, I feel like, and I'm saying we because I feel like there's a lot of people like me who are like on a day by day and like just rushing to work, rushing here, rushing to there. Like there's always something that we are doing. And I feel like when you are in nature, right, you focus a little bit more on things that, I don't know, like a plant, a little insect, a spider web, a tree. And just by doing that, just by just not thinking about the daily things that we all worry about, I feel like that has an impact on your mental health. And actually now there's I know that there's a lot of research who supports this, what it was just experiential for me and for a lot of people, like, but not only on mental health and how being out in nature, in the woods, like naturally the trees are like spilling or secreting like some kind of oil and oils that go into our skin, and we are naturally absorbing them without even doing anything. And that it's not only good for our well-being, like I said, like the health, like physical health, but it's also for the it helps to reduce the cortisol, which is like the hormone that actually makes us stress. So that actually really helps us by just being more relaxed. I have gone into the habit of going on a walk every morning. I'm so lucky that I live in West Stockbridge, and Olivia's Overlook, it's just like 8 minutes away from my home, and I drive with my dog to that place, and every morning I try to do the hike, whether it's fall, winter, any time of the year. And I've seen how I am in a better mood actually before I came here. I got up this morning and we don't see the sun right now, but I was so lucky that I got to see the sun coming to the trees, and and just I feel like it's just a collective thing. I go to work and I invite my friends. Some of them have come with me to early hikes. A lot of my closest friends come, and they also work in nonprofits, and there's a lot of stress working in a nonprofit. and they have told me, you know, these hikes have been helping me a lot. I'm more relaxed. I'm more ready to take on whatever it comes after the hike, because I feel like I got my time to just be there, just to be in awe, right? Just to disconnect. To disconnect. So there's a lot of benefits, as I said, not only for it helps us to reduce the risk of obesity and diabetes, but the mental health impact of being outside, it's just something that I feel we cannot get or take for granted. And especially being here in the Berkshires,
right.
I feel like that's the thing that we all have to just like be
to de-stress. Yeah, and so I've done a lot of work with the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention over the years, and last year we had an event in the Commons in Pittsfield, and we invited various organizations, and BNRC was there, but we also had yoga instructors and someone who does journaling, and then we had art therapy, all these alternative modalities of stress reduction, because we recognize that with mental health, there's the quick answer is, well, go get some help, go see a therapist. But that's not always the reality. There's a long wait list. No fault of anybody in the business. It's a supply and demand issue. So we wanted to offer alternatives or open people's awareness of different things that are out there to maybe stay ahead of the stress as best you can, you know. And so we obviously invited BNRC because we wanted someone to talk about hiking. You know, so people would come over and just, you know, kind of walk up and get some information about, you know, how can that be beneficial to me? So, and you've just really explained it very well. So thank you. It, more so than I even really realized. I didn't know about all the oils and you know, I hadn't even thought of that. So another thing, of course, if we're you know, encouraging people to get out into the woods, we also want to make sure people are safe. So Becky, can you maybe talk a little bit about what you would recommend to somebody before they step off into the woods? What would be a safe way to go about it?
Sure. So, well, a place like Pleasant Valley offers facilities and a person that you can talk to before you head out on the trail. So if you are kind of starting to explore getting out into the woods, going to a place where you can actually talk to someone, find out a little bit more about the trails, and have your specific questions answered, that can be a really helpful way to kind of get you ready and feeling like, okay, I understand what I'm getting myself into. Because I think in terms of being prepared, like people have different concerns. Someone might be more focused on like what shoes should I wear, and someone else might be more focused on wildlife concerns or mm-hmm. being alone out in the woods. There are also, I think, joining a program like for your first time is another really great way to feel comfortable because a leader will prepare you. I know BNRC has offered some sort of intro and I think even some virtual, like how to feel comfortable in the woods kinds of programs. We do that as well. And we actually have an upcoming program, I want to say Saturday, accessible birding at Pleasant Valley, where accessible birding is what it sounds like. It's coming with no experience, no expectations in terms of or we have no expectations in terms of what people are able to do when they start off on the program. So, I think going to a place where you can talk to someone or joining a program is a great way to get yourself started.
Yeah. Jenny, you want to add to that? Any other recommendations? I know you have a list on your website.
Yeah, well, certainly, you know, bringing water, sunscreen, bug spray, all of those things are really important. It's really important. I know when I first came to BNRC, I hadn't done a lot of hiking in a long time. So for me, having a map was, you know, making sure I had the map. And then, you know, BNRC puts a lot of effort into making sure the trails are well marked so you can't get lost. We have an app a free app you can download so you can be following along your path on the trail in real time. It has not only all of BNRC's trails, but it has Mass Audubon trails and many other local land trusts. So it's really trying to be a comprehensive resource for Berkshire Trails. But it just gives you that sense of security that you know where you're going and how far it is. We also did put out a brochure this year, more of a booklet called Everybody Can Hike. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of an introduction to, because for some people, even the word hiking is a little intimidating. Like, that's for those fitness buffs who can climb mountains. Maybe I could just go for a walk. Maybe I could just stand outside and look at the birds. But the brochure, which we have in Spanish and in English, really gives you a very comprehensive, it answers the questions people are embarrassed to ask, like, what if I have to go to the bathroom mm-hmm. when I'm out there? Like, everything you need to know is in this brochure. So it really helps people who don't feel comfortable and safe. I was talking to a woman a couple weeks ago who said her mom, who's about my age, you know, in her 50s, is afraid to walk in the woods alone. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people feel that way. And I was out in Kennedy Park the other night, and I was out there, you know, about 7 o'clock, and I walked for an hour, and I did not see another human being the entire time I was there. And I was thinking about that meme that was going around about a month ago. Would you rather run into a bear or a man if you're a woman walking alone in the woods? And I was a little on the fence as mm-hmm. I was walking along, like, which one? And but that can be very create a lot of anxiety. So what do you do? How do you prepare yourself? Mm-hmm. Questions like that. Somebody at Pleasant, you know, we don't at BNRC, we don't have facilities, we don't have bathrooms or people who can answer your questions, so we try to find other ways. Every kiosk we have has all the brochures that give you all the information for what you're going to find when you get to mm-hmm. that sanctuary.
And I find, you know, another thing that I always recommend to people, I think is pretty important, is especially if you're going out by yourself, that you know, you let somebody know where you're going, what your plan is. And the other thing is bring your cell phone, you know. turn it off if you don't want to be interrupted by your texts and stuff, but have it with you, because in this day and age, we have pretty good coverage on the trails. And, you know, if you should get, not so much lost, because the trails are pretty well marked, I agree. But if you got injured, you want to be able to contact somebody. So I can't stress that enough. Bring your cell phone, please. And then, of course, you know, we talk about being hydrated. Staying hydrated is always important. If you're going to go into the later hours, make sure you have some kind of illumination. I mean, again, your phone will have a flashlight, but again, make sure it's properly charged, right? And whistles. You know, if you think of it, bring a whistle with you. It can alert somebody, you know, maybe a quarter mile away or something. They might hear the whistle if you need some help. And then, you know, we also talked about being able to get out on these trails where you brought up a great point about people think hiking means, you know, Mount Everest, right? But it can also mean Parsons Marsh. And so there are different levels. And poles would be something if people use hiking poles. That's something I never used. And I started working a couple years ago. I started working at Caney Ranch. So I do the trail hikes, right? So that's why I'm on your trail so often. And we started using the poles, and I use them all the time now. I just always thought I don't need those, but I use them.
Makes a huge difference.
I use them on the level one hikes, just to have them. You know, it's just a little extra something. So I would promote those for people, just to have those little walking poles.
And can I just jump in and say one of the things that we do on our hikes, and I imagine you guys do this too, Becky, is have equipment available for people to borrow when they come. And so when we've worked with Latinas 413, we've lent, they've run their own hikes, but we've lent them snowshoes and hiking poles and make sure that people have that equipment so they can have, be as safe as possible and as comfortable.
Right. Yeah, thank you. So another big difference between your two organizations, one big difference has to do with dogs. Mm-hmm. So you each have different policies on that, and for very good reasons. Becky, can you speak to that about?
Sure, yeah. So at Mass Audubon, at the wildlife sanctuaries in the Berkshires, so we have three open to the public. We have Canoe Meadows Wildlife Sanctuary, Pleasant Valley Wildlife Sanctuary, and Limekiln Farm Wildlife Sanctuary. And we don't allow, those sanctuaries are focused on passive recreation, so hiking, walking, and we don't allow mountain bikes, and we don't allow dogs on the sanctuaries. And that really has to do with the documented impacts on wildlife that, you know, research, you know, very clearly demonstrates. And so in the case of those sanctuaries being really focused on the wildlife conservation, we don't allow dogs. However, we love dogs, and so we know all the places that do allow dogs, including our neighbor Kennedy Park, town managed, and actually part of it is owned by Mass Audubon as well. And so we can send people there. We send them to the BNRC trails that do allow dogs. So lots of options for people who want to bring places that I could bring my dog.
Jenny, even with the dogs, they should be leashed.
Well,
or under if they're
under
well,
your control. Yeah, okay. We say, and we've had lots of conversations about how we should approach this, because people love to walk with their dogs. Dogs love to be in nature just like we do. But they do cause harm to the habitat. They bring in seeds from invasive species on their fur. You know, if they poop in the woods, there could be parasites that could harm wildlife. And of course, they're going to catch and eat something if they can. So not everybody loves dogs. Not everybody's comfortable with dogs. So if you have a dog that's going to run up and greet people, you might think, oh, he's just being friendly. But the person walking towards you doesn't know that and maybe isn't comfortable. So ideally on a leash, but at the very least under your control. Mm. Follow local leash laws is our written policy, but nobody knows what they are.
Yeah, because you do just need to be mindful that not everybody. I have dogs. I love dogs. So it's not me, but there are people who are uncomfortable around dogs.
Can I just add too? I just had a friend who shared that her dog got into a porcupine. So I know with my dog, another concern is just keeping my dog safe, and I know that dogs and bears are not a good mix. Mm-hmm. Dogs and porcupines are not a good mix. So just kind of also being aware of where you are, and, you know, we love our dogs and don't want them to have a negative interaction with wildlife that could cause them harm.
Yeah, and that's been a concern for me too. And I keep mine are leashed. I do that. Just for that reason, and also I just don't want any problem with anybody else's dogs. You know, last thing we want is that anybody getting hurt or any dogs getting hurt. So, so we talked a little bit about some of the different programming that you have, and we talked about the high road. Jenny? You want to talk a little bit more about generally the conservation programming that you're looking to do and the outreach and the long term?
Absolutely, and I know that Becky will have thoughts on this as well, but. She used the word climate resilience, and we're all thinking about this. All the nature organizations are thinking, what does that mean now, and how can we contribute? And if you're doing land conservation and land protection, you actually, it's one of the most exciting things about this job is we can make a difference. There is something that we can do to protect the Berkshires, people and wildlife, all of us together, from changes in the climate as things go on in the coming years. And one of the best ways we can do that is to continue to conserve more land, make sure it's under protection so you can preserve those wildlife corridors and the connectivity of nature rather than have it get chopped up because species need to move. Species ranges are going to move as the climate changes. And so we're always on the lookout for what's the next opportunity to conserve on a landscape scale, big chunks of land. We created a computer model that helps us look throughout the Berkshires to understand where are the most important places to be focused on. And so we have kind of areas that we're going to be looking at over the next 10, 15 years. But in particular, Massachusetts has set a goal called 30 by 30. They want to see 30% of all of the land in Massachusetts conserved by 2030. And that means another 100,000 acres or so statewide. And here in the Berkshires, we have a lot of opportunity to add to that. We have more than our share in a way. What's that phrase? You can punch above your weight. And we can do that here in the Berkshires. And as Becky mentioned, we're all collaborating. We're working together on these projects. So Mass Audubon, BNRC, the local land trusts, a lot of towns have land trusts, trustees of reservations, the Nature Conservancy, we all partner up to say, how are we going to approach this big project, work with the state, work with other agencies to find the money and find the landowners who want to protect their land in perpetuity.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Becky.
Jenny put it really, really well. I think I would add and sort of emphasize that, you know, in the 20 years that I've worked in the conservation field, I have seen a bit of a shift in terms of land protection, in terms of land trusts, organizations like Mass Audubon. Like, we don't need to be the ones to own the land in the end. Mm-hmm. We, as a statewide organization, we're really focused on, okay, how do we reach these goals? And how do we, like, what are the resources that we can bring to the table and help the land to be protected? But we don't necessarily need to be the one in the end who makes it a wildlife sanctuary. Like, maybe it's better. Jenny named many organizations that also hold land or hold a conservation restriction, and maybe it's the state, maybe it's just it's another entity, but we can bring resources to the table, like financial resources when a land project needs to happen quickly, or legal resources. But I think collectively, by now, most land protection organizations are now thinking in that way. Like, how do we work together to get to this goal? And people that we're behind the scenes, maybe Mass Audubon's behind the scenes making it happen. Mm-hmm. And that's great as long as we get to that goal.
Yeah. So all this conservation, all these trails we're talking about, do you guys have, each of you have a favorite trail? Jenny, can I start with you?
That is such an unfair question because I love them so much. Mm-hmm. I do particularly love Parsons Marsh because of what it offers to people. And in particular this time of year, the birds at Parsons Marsh are just outrageous. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. You can go there and There's an app called Merlin, if you're not really familiar with birds, that will listen to the songs and tell you what's out there. Mm-hmm. And it's not 100% accurate. My husband's a super duper birder, and I'll text him and say, Merlin told me I just heard a striped cuckoo. I probably didn't, right? And he's like, no, 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 there's no striped cuckoos in the Berkshires. But it's really fun to start teaching yourself, oh, that's what an American red start sounds mm-hmm. like. Mm-hmm. So I'll say Parsons Marsh for today.
All right. America.
I will say, yes, it's a difficult question, but I will say Olivia's Overlook.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, just because it was the first trail that I stepped foot on here mm-hmm. in the Berkshires. And my heart is just there. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful up there. Becky?
If you had asked me 4 years ago, I would have said Yokin Ridge Trail, which is at Pleasant Valley, which is part of the high road. Now that I have a 2.5-year-old, I say the All Persons Trail at Pleasant Valley, because I pick her up from school and we go by there, and it's a accessible trail that she can run along and I can also enjoy. So now it's a lot more about what can we do together, and that trail just offers it all. And the birds right now are just spectacular.
Yeah.
You won't get a striped cuckoo, but maybe black-billed cuckoo. Actually, I know we have a black-billed.
So going forward, what kind of events are coming up? So, like America, do you have anything scheduled, or how would people get in touch with you to go on a hike with you?
Yes, we have a hike scheduled for Spanish-speaking people and those who want to immerse in Spanish, and it's coming up on June 29th, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a small hike through Stevens Glen and West Stockbridge.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to say that in Spanish?
Sí, para todas las personas que nos pudieran estar escuchando, tenemos una caminata el 29 de junio en West Stockbridge, es en Stevens Glen. Si están interesados en registrarse, pueden enviar un mensaje de WhatsApp al 413-212-1249 o pueden visitar la página de BNRC y pueden registrarse ahí mismo.
Thank you. And how about anything else going on at BNRC? What events? I see something about a fantastic firefly event or something coming up.
Yeah, we have the Fantastic Fireflies family hike. I mentioned Thomas and Palmer in Great Barrington, which is accessible. So this is a family walk at 5:30 in the evening. So the fireflies will be just starting to come out. Mm-hmm. And as America mentioned, all of these programs that we offer, you can sign up on our website. Because we like to get numbers ahead of time. We have a work day at Many Forks Farm at the end of June, the Stevens Glen stroll, and then a Healthy Heart family hike at the end of July. And, you know, America explained some of those wonderful health benefits. It's good for your heart. It's good for your blood pressure. There's so much that even just a 20-minute easy walk can do for you.
Mm-hmm. Becky, what's coming up?
We have more firefly programs. We have some, so I think anywhere you live in the county, there'll be a firefly program at some point. We have one up at Greylock Glen, I think Pleasant Valley and the Mount. We have one, lots of canoe trips happening, birding programs, the birds and beavers that I mentioned in the evenings. And keep an eye out. I guess the best thing to do would be to follow our social media, Mass Audubon Pleasant Valley on Instagram or Facebook, or check out our website, because we're continually adding new programs. We actually just have a new person who's in charge of running all of the public programs. So look for a lot more on our schedule very soon.
Good. Lots to do. And like you said, the fireflies, it's that time of year. So mm-hmm. nice to be able to have little events with a low light where you can really get the experience being surrounded by them. So that's great. You have those different programs available. Obviously, family, great opportunity to do something with your kids. So we've got just about a minute left. Anybody have anything you wanted to cover as far as how you can be supported? BNRC, how can people support BNRC?
BNRC is 100% donor-funded. All of this work comes because of people's generous donations, which you can make at bnrc.org/donate.
Okay. And how about with Pleasant Valley and the Audubon Society?
Sure. So signing up for our e-newsletter is a great way to stay connected. We are a member-based organization, so joining as a member of Mass Audubon helps us to offer all that we do, and we do also rely on donations to support our work. So check us out, massaudubon.org, and or come see me at Pleasant Valley.
All right.
We do also have social media, email, newsletters, all of that, so you can keep track of everything that's going on Instagram, Facebook, and by our e-news.
All right. Yeah, don't forget to use technology to get back to nature.
And our app, the Berkshire Trails app.
Okay, great. So again, thank you everybody for being here. We had America Lopez with BNRC, Jenny Hatzel, president of BNRC, Becky Cushing-Gopp with the Berkshire Audubon Society and Pleasant Valley Sanctuary. We are we talked about getting out into nature, so please take advantage of that, folks. There's so much wonderful stuff out here. And I hope that you'll join us again. And if you didn't catch the whole show, you can always watch it on PCTV. So again, hopefully you'll join us again. Thanks so much. Have a good day.